Yeah, as mentioned, my name is Perry Zellman. I'm the Western Canada Area Manager for an organization called ERDO. How many of you have heard of ERDO? Okay, how many of you have no idea what ERDO is? Hopefully by the end of the morning, you will understand more of what we do and you will be inspired because we're good. We are. We're the humanitarian agency of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Before we start, Pastor Debbie, how many of you know her? She is a powerful woman of God. She leads a church right downtown Edmonton with people on the street, with breakfasts and whatever. She's stepping over needles. She's reaching out to people that are the homeless down there. And she has a heart of gold and compassion like you would not believe. So ladies, go. Anyway, that's my advertisement, unpaid for, but that's okay. I have a story for you. Last August, my wife and I were in Edmonton, and we were driving down Connors Hill, if you know where that is. And we were on our way to a baseball game and visit some friends. And as we were going down the hill, we ran into something that I don't know if you have them in Devon. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it's called a pothole. And I had the luxury of hitting a pothole. And it was a big pothole, and the side of the pothole sliced my tire. And as we were going down, and right where, God, where are we going to stop? And I saw a pullout. Go figure, I didn't know there was a pullout there. And I went, and I pulled out onto the side. My wife and I got out. We looked at this shredded tire. And I went, okay. Opened up the trunk of my car, pulled out that little donut, and started to jack up the car. When all of a sudden, I heard from the bottom of the hill, because we're near the top, at the bottom of the hill, this young man came running up, and he goes, wait, I can help you, I can help you, I can help you. We're looking, and this guy is trucking up this hill. It's a big hill. He gets up to the top, and he goes, I used to work in a tire shop. I can change this for you. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And he changed the tire, and he said, I'm from Manitoba, and my family told me, have raised me to say, if I ever see anyone in need and I have the resources to help, I should help. He changed the tire in record time. I was amazed. Put it in, got in. I said, where'd you come from? He goes, oh, I saw what happened to your tire, so I stopped at the bottom of the hill. I'm around the corner. And so it's quite a ways down. I said, well, let me at least give you a ride back to your car. So gave him a ride back to the car. He jumped out. He goes, you have a great day. And he was gone. My wife and I looked at each other, and we thought, that's an incredible young man. He did good. Cole talked about this morning about the goodness of God, okay? Reminding us that he is faithful to us. We are created to do good. I don't know if you know that or not. Ephesians 2:10 says that. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 17 says, learn to do good. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, we are to do good. But what is the actual definition of doing good? What does it mean to do good? Well, I love the dictionary, mostly because I don't understand words. But I looked up what it meant to do good, and the Oxford Dictionary says, to do good means to act virtuously, especially by helping others. Well, what does the word virtuously mean? I looked that up in the dictionary as well. And the word virtuously means to act in a way that demonstrates good moral qualities, high ethical standards, and righteous behavior. So in putting this together, it means that we are to do good in a moral, high ethical way that benefits people and not ourselves. I have another story. I heard this on the radio a few months ago on the Christian radio station, and can't remember where it was. There was an elevator that went out in an apartment building. And this young man that lived in the apartment building realized that there's a lot of people in the apartment building that are seniors, that have mobility issues, that would have trouble going up and down the stairs. So we put up a sign. I think he went around and he put it under all the doors. And he said, if you need your garbage taken out, if you need someone to get your mail, someone to pick up your groceries, anything you need, phone this number. He was doing good. He was using whatever talents, whatever abilities he had, whatever resources to help others in need. That's what Erdo does. We are the humanitarian arm of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. You heard of our missionaries, now called global workers. You hear of them and the ministry that they do spiritually. Well, Erdo is the practical to help our global workers fulfill the spiritual. I have a short video that I want us to show that explains a little bit more of who we are.
We don't live in the world that existed over 40 years ago. We don't eat the same food. We don't buy the same clothes. Communities have grown. Cities have changed. The world has become a much bigger and a much smaller place. But some things never change. In the 1980s, images of stick-thin and sobbing children grabbed the world's attention. Famine was declared in Ethiopia, and the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada responded out of a passion to recklessly love those Christ loves, the poor, the vulnerable, and the hungry. Erdo was created to respond to disasters, to build up communities and lift families out of poverty, to educate children who have only known hunger and empower them for a brighter future, to meet people's most basic needs, to sit with the poor, to be present in suffering and grief, to follow the Holy Spirit into the complexity of our world and to bring biblical justice to families in their time of need. Our mission hasn't changed. Since the 1980s, our hearts have been moved to bring food, clean water, and shelter to families through community development, crisis response, and child sponsorship programs. Canadians like you have helped us respond to disasters that have changed our world, like the HIV epidemic in East Africa, the Indian Ocean tsunami, and the devastating earthquakes in Haiti and Turkey. Together, we've brought relief during wars in Yemen, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Ukraine. We've helped care for refugees in Uganda and Bangladesh. We've increased the amount of food families are able to produce in Haiti and Zimbabwe and brought clean water to Cambodia, to name a few of the places we've reached since our beginning. Together, we have made a difference in our world. And Erdo has grown from shipping containers of grain to Africa and South America to a top 100 Canadian charity, working in almost 50 countries across over 120 projects every year. Our first 40 plus years has brought us and the people we serve incredible joy. These years have brought God glory as He delights in His people's compassion, in children being fed, in mothers being empowered. Now, we're looking forward to a future of not only doing good, but being in the world for good. We're here for the long haul, with eternity in mind, and the good of communities as our focus. Thank you for joining us in our time-tested mission.
It's pretty good stuff, huh? I don't know if you noticed, it said that we are one, the top 100 charities in Canada, and we have been consistently over several, I think, the full 40 years. Do you know how many charities there are in Canada? Just over 86,000. And so to be consistently in the top 100 shows everyone, especially Revenue Agency, Canada Revenue Agency, that we are very much accountable for every penny that is spent, that we are on top of everything, and that we are doing good. I said earlier, the first part of Isaiah 1:17, and it did come up on the screen, it said, But the full verse of Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case. And in the first part I read of 1 Timothy 6:18, the rest of it says, we are to do good, be rich in good works, be generous, and ready to share. So in my mind, that means that all our resources, all our talents, all our abilities, all the things that God has given us, our efforts, our kindness, our compassion, we are to use to lift other people up before God. It means being generous with our kindness, compassion towards others, especially those struggling. And in Titus 3:14, it said that we are to let our people learn to devote themselves to do good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. You kind of getting the theme here? I'm wanting to make sure that when we leave today, we all do good. But you can do good, but I believe we should do good with a purpose. I was once at a conference, and the speaker was quite boring. And so I was looking out the window and looking around, and I saw a poster on the side of the wall. And it says, be one who leads one step closer to Christ. Be one who leads one step closer to Christ. And I have memorized that, and every day, or mostly every day, I pray that every morning. You know, Lord, how can I lead one person one step closer? And it's by doing good. It's by thanking the person at the grocery store. It's by saying, God bless you, to your neighbor. It's by maybe helping shovel some snow, which is our favorite pastime this time of year. Okay? It is doing what we can to show goodness. Three years ago, I was driving from Vancouver to Grand Prairie, Alberta. And I was going up by Grand Cache on the way, and it was about 11:30 at night. And it's okay, he told me he was going to leave. it was about 11:30 at night, and there was a man standing on the side of the highway. Now, I like to pick up hitchhikers. My wife detests that, so I only do it when I'm alone. And so I picked up this hitchhiker at about 11:30 at night, and he had a few too many to drink. And he was on his way to Grand Prairie. Now, Grand Cache to Grand Prairie is several hours away. So he got in the car, and he goes, thank you for picking me up. You're such a good guy. And off we went. And for the next few hours, he told me everything about his life. The women he was with, the parties he has had, the ups and downs and everything, his childhood, everything. And I just sat there and drove and listened the whole time. And in interjecting in between, he kept saying, you're such a good guy. You really are, for picking me. Thank you for picking me up. And then he'd go on and tell me another story. And finally, about 2 in the morning or something like that, 2:30 in the morning, we got to where the house he wanted to be dropped off at, and he opened the door, stuck his head back in. He goes, you're such a good guy. The next time you're in Grand Prairie, I want to go buy you a beer. And he closed the door, and he left. And I drove away saying, I'm such a good guy. I'm just a great guy. I did good. I picked this guy up. It was cold out. He was going to freeze. And I gave him a ride. And the Holy Spirit slapped me upside the head and said, you had him in the car for how many hours? He told you his whole life story. You had opportunity after opportunity to share me, to talk to him about me. And I felt so horrible. So It's one thing to do good, but we need to do it with a purpose. I didn't lead him one step closer to Christ. I just gave him a ride. So, on the way home, I was driving Sunday afternoon after a church service, driving back from Grand Prairie to Vancouver, and there was another hitchhiker. And I slammed on the brakes, and I thought, God, I'm not letting him get away this time without hearing about you. And he got in with his gun, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I was up hunting up in the mountainside here, and I got lost. He goes, I only live about 10 minutes away. And I thought, oh, I got 10 minutes. And I said, what are you doing hunting on Sunday? You should be in church. And just like that, he opened up. When I was a child, I used to go to church and blah, blah, blah. And then and he just told his story, and he goes, yeah, I just kind of fell away from it, and I just haven't bothered going back. And so we chatted for a bit. It's surprising how people will open up when you talk to them. People really are searching for spiritual things, spiritual answers. On a side note, I used to work with Muslims for like 15 years. They're the easiest people to talk to about God. Jesus may be a little tougher, but to talk to about God, because they're very spiritual minded. But most Canadians are too, just in general. So anyway, I talked to him, and to make a long story short, in within those 10 minutes, he got to hear the gospel, how God loves him, how faithful him. I got to pray with him, even prayed that he would get a moose or a deer in the future, whatever he was hunting. He thanked me. He was solemn, and he goes, I'm going to start going back to church. Okay? That I drove away feeling I did good with a purpose of leading him one step closer to Christ. Erdo, we do emergency relief. In Ukraine, there's a war going on. We are there providing relief. We are providing with food and shelter and hope for hundreds of families. In South Sudan, there is a crisis going on. People are literally starving to death. They're fleeing from the wars. In Yemen, the exact same thing. When I worked with the Muslim with Muslims in the past, I was in Yemen. And before the war, things were dire. People struggle. And now people are displaced. They have no food, lack of water. Erdo was there supporting both South Sudan and Yemen. And working along with the Canadian Food Grain Bank, every dollar that we put in, they will match 4 to 1. And for every $40 that we send into Yemen, that helps provide food for a family for 6 months. So they don't have to worry day to day about how to survive food for 6 months. And we put in $40, the Canadian Food Grain Bank will put in another $160. So that equals $200. It's amazing what we can do when we do good together. Through our development programs, we provide a positive changes to communities by giving dignity and pride to people. We have microfinancing program to women. So many husbands, sorry guys, we suck. Many men have just fled their families, you know, and the women are left alone with children to support. And they have to resort to sometimes unscrupulous things just to survive. And we were able to come in with microfinancing programs to teach people how to raise a chicken farm or buy them a goat or some bunnies so they can be self-supporting to feed them and their families, to give them agricultural products so they can grow tomatoes and other produce so they can have food and nutrition for their family as well as to sell in the marketplace. We don't just give them, here's some chickens. We also come and provide training, how to run a small business, how to follow up on them, so they're able to succeed. We're able to buy sewing machines, teach people sewing skills, so they're able to succeed, to give them dignity and pride. We're doing good with the purpose of them hearing from the gospel. We work hand in hand with our global workers, as I mentioned earlier. Okay, most or a good chunk of our global workers could not do the spiritual work that they do without the humanitarian part of Erdo. One pastor recently said, pastor in Edmonton, he said, we are here on earth to be open to the hurting, to the wounded, to the broken, to the bruised. And we are to open our arms to those that need the love of Jesus demonstrated in practical ways. And that's why Erdo was created. Provide the humanitarian needs, the practical needs, to lay the groundwork for our global workers and Christian partners to fulfill their spiritual needs. Reopen the doors so the gospel could be shared. We also do child sponsorship. Currently, we have just under 8,000 children around the world being sponsored. You know, from South America to the Middle East to Eastern Europe to Asia. I have two children that I sponsor, personally. My wife has a couple others. But one of my children is 8 years old. He's from Sierra Leone in Africa. He has deformed arms, deformed legs, an oversized head, and wants to be a doctor. He lives with his family that are struggling for food and for medical assistance. My little $41 a month that I send him, the amount to sponsor a child, gives him nutrition, gives him medical assistance, and helps the family supply the needs that this child needs. Will he ever become a doctor? Probably not. Will he ever live to a ripe old age? In my mind, probably not. But right now, I want him to know that God is looking after him. I want his family to know that God cares about him, knows him by name, sees them, and is with them. And my little resources of $41 is nothing to me. Okay, not that I'm rich, but it's nothing to me compared to the life that I'm changing over there and the family. And not just to be nice, because our global workers that are working with him and our Christian partners that are working with him is leading that family to the gospel. Not saying that this guy in Canada is doing something for you, but saying that Jesus is looking after him. I have another, I have a young man, he's almost 15, he lives in the Ukraine. Now, you've heard about what's happening in Ukraine. Hey, he wants to become a drummer when he grows up. Yeah, my son's a drummer. Don't know where that's going to lead him. But anyway, this guy is worried. This guy is worried that one day he might get picked up off the street because he's a tall guy. And he looks old. And in the Ukraine, if single men, if you're walking down the street, if you're a man walking down the street, the army can just grab you and haul you and throw you into the military. Okay? And he's worried that that might happen to him. So my little resource contribution to him is to let him know that no matter what happens, his family will be taken care of. He'll be taken care of. And God is with him and will guide him. It doesn't take much, but I'm hopefully doing good with a purpose that God will see. We'll let them know that God sees them. Galatians 6:10. So then, we have the opportunity. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Erdo opens the doors so the gospel can be shared. On my table at the back, I have a couple things I want you guys to look at or take. One is this. It's our 2024 annual report. The 2025 hasn't been completed yet, so that'll be coming out soon. But it gives you an idea of some of the work that we do. I also have this. It says Christmas catalog, but it's good all year round. And I ask you to look at this, pray, and see if you want to do good through this catalog. Maybe you want to to spend a whole $3.50 so a child in Haiti could eat for a week. Or spend $7, a whole $7. I know that'll break the bank for most of you. It does for my household. But to feed a child in Honduras for a month. Okay? Maybe you want to buy some chickens, a goat. Maybe you want to buy some school supplies for $15 to help a child go to school. Maybe you want to, well, just look at it. There's a lot of things on there. Okay, big and small and throughout. And also I want to challenge you today is that I mentioned in our child sponsorship program that we have around 8,000 children being sponsored, but there's hundreds and thousands more that need to be sponsored. And currently I have about 30 on the back table. Well, not little kids, I just have their profiles. But I have them on the back from all over the world, different areas, from Guatemala to Ukraine to Bangladesh to Cambodia, Africa, parts of Africa. Maybe you want to contribute $41 a month and change a life. Give them hope. Do good. So, I am finished. So I hope today you've been challenged a bit. You've thought about it. You've been inspired. Know that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada is doing good around the world. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come today.